even freaking afford food anymore.
Your candidate for change in the afternoon. This is the Mario Solis Merritt Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Yeah.
6 minutes after 6 o'clock. And you are listening to the one and only Mario Solis Merritt Show. Right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. West Virginia polls closed just, 36 minutes ago. And everybody's already calling it a wide margin win by the Clinton campaign. The campaign seems to continue to move on. We got six primaries left over the course of the next 3 weeks or so, 3 or 4 weeks. And, of course, in as dedicated a fashion as we can, we will be there holding your hand all the way through it. Well, right now we're holding your hand. I have a sense that by the time this is over, you guys will have to hold our hand. But because this has definitely been a wild one. 303-713-7600 if you want to comment on this race. And also, in just a second, I also want to tell you about these checks that folks are getting from the economic stimulus package. Not every taxpayer is getting one. Did you know that? Let me put it this way. Even under the rules, not every taxpayer that qualifies under the income rules is getting one. Did you know that? And I'll explain that to you in just a little bit. But first, we'll go back to your calls at 303-713-7600. Patricia, you are on AM 760.
Hi, Mario. I want you to know that you and your team are fabulous.
Thank you. I love my team, by the way. I on that score, I agree with you.
And you are the only ones I can bear to listen to anymore. I'm a graduate student at DU, and I'm 65 years old, and the Hillary bashing just never stops on any other media.
Well, we hope that we're a bit of an oasis in the you know, this obviously has been an extremely passionate race. And so there's no other way to describe it. But Patricia, your call means a lot to me. So what do you think about the results tonight?
Fabulous.
So, and what do you think? Do you think it means anything, though?
Not if Tim Russert gets to report it.
Well, there you go. Hey, Patricia, thanks for your call. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And she called 303-713-7600. All right. Let's see. Dennis, on line one, you're on AM 760.
Hi, Mario.
How are you?
Hey, I just wanted to ask something to the listeners out there in Denver and Colorado. What's up with the condescending attitude towards the people of West Virginia? Let me remind them that I think they are the 24th largest state, 22nd largest state. Yeah, so, I mean, it's not exactly that Denver is a hotbed of cosmopolitanism.
Well, first of all, Dennis, I have to tell you something. I don't think I've heard any caller today on this program speak in a condescending way against the people of West Virginia.
Well, no, not on here.
Right.
But when you go on, when you're blogging on there, there's a lot of that out there.
Well, I think, you know, this started, by the way, can I say something? This started early on, and it is... It's an unusual, I will say this, I know what you're talking about specifically, and it is an unusual phenomenon, but it's not, you know, it's not limited to some people in Denver, right? This has been going on for a while. Like, for instance, there were those type of comments about the voters in Tejas. They were, you know what I mean? It actually started before Super Tuesday. And I heard it, by the way, from people that are friends of mine. And I heard words come out of their mouth that I've never thought I'd hear them say. But there does seem to be this internal cultural divide within the Democratic Party right now. And I never thought I'd live to see it. And I don't understand it, Dennis. I wish I did.
Yeah, I just, you know, I guess I would like to know, because I've got to tell you, like, almost all my friends, because I'm gay, almost all my friends are Hillary supporters because, I mean, she's got overwhelming support amongst the gay community. I'd say probably like 75-80% of the gay people I talk to are voting for her and refuse to vote for him because of the Donnie McClurkin incident,
right,
which I know the straight press could care less.
Right.
They're not interested, but gay people are very interested in it. Very, very interested in it. It's to the point where it's going to be a one issue election for them. And let me remind people out there that there are 30 million gay people in this country, and we will be heard come election day.
Well, there you go. Well, hopefully all wounds will heal between now and election day, Dennis.
I don't think so.
Why do you not think so?
Because there is still this attitude, and, you know, I listen to you every day, and there is this smug attitude coming from the Obama camp that is just, I mean, you know, I want to retch every time I hear it. And at this point, I would vote for Dick Cheney.
Oh, no, you
over
would
Obama.
Not, Dennis. Now I know. Now I know you're exaggerating.
Well, maybe a little.
Thank you, Dennis, for your call. I appreciate it. And he called 303-713-7600. Okay, check this out. I bet you did not know this, because I didn't. I didn't know this, and I was shocked. You could see it. It was on yesterday on MyLatinoNews.com, and we've linked to it today at www.gotomario.com, and it's linked at am760.net. So wherever you visit us, you will see this story. It turns out that foreign-born residents are not getting their economic stimulus check. Now, I want to be precise about this. Not everybody is going to get, you have to fall within a certain income level, right, to get the economic stimulus check, right? There's all this different criteria, right? So that's understood. But if you fit in that criteria and you are here legally, but you are foreign-born, you don't get a rebate. You don't get the stimulus check just because you were foreign born. Now, I want to make sure, because I know people are over there, oh, I don't think illegal aliens should get, you know, their checks. Okay. Before we go there, let me make sure that you know what you're debating. These are people that are here legally, and they are not getting their stimulus check. Now, they're not getting it because people on the right were very concerned that undocumented workers were going to end up getting the stimulus check. And so in order to prevent that, they said nobody who's foreign born is going to get a stimulus check. That's the way they solve that puppy right there, which, by the way, is absolutely ridiculous on three or four different counts. Now, this is wholesale, broad-based discrimination. There's no other way to put it. These folks fit into the criteria. They are taxpayers. But because somebody was afraid, a senator or a congressperson was afraid that maybe an undocumented taxpayer was going to get their stimulus check, they wrote this rule saying that no foreign-born residents could get stimulus checks. There are two problems with this. Well, there are many problems with this, but there are two ways that this pokes a hole in the argument, number one, for the stimulus check, and number two, the argument that is constantly made by anti-immigrant factions in this country. And I'll tell you what those both are as soon as we get back, and we'll continue to take your calls, y mucho más, right here on the one and only Mario Solis Marit Show. 303-713-7600. 303-713-7600 is the number. It is 6:15 on AM 760. 19 minutes after 6 o'clock right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600. In a second, Chris Gunn will be with us. Really quick, though, I want to get, now we're getting some calls on this as well. I know, including people who aren't getting their stimulus package check because they or it's not even just doesn't just apply to them, but also their spouse. If their spouse is a foreign national and they are filing jointly, they don't get the stimulus check. So we will continue with that topic and take your calls at 303-713-7600. I also want to remind you that tomorrow we have Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid will be with us right here on the one and only Mario Solis Marich Show. He'll be talking about his new book. And I will take the opportunity to ask him about the Pentagon propaganda scandal. So we're really looking forward to that conversation here on the one and only Mario Solis Marit Show. Let's go ahead real quick. In a second, Chris Gunn will be with us. But real quick, before we do that, let's take a quick call. Let me see here. Line one, Barb from Denver. You're on AM 760. Barb, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, this is Barb. How you doing? Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just calling in. I know a gentleman, Dennis, before mentioned about West Virginia, and I've been reading it on the blogs today. And I grew up in West Virginia, and I've lived in Denver for about 25 years, but I still have family there. And, you know, it just seems how the media turns this around, that it's all about Obama. They're voting against Obama for race or whatever. And I have to disagree with that. I think the people are voting for Hillary. They like Hillary. They like the Clintons. They like the 90s. The issue for my family, who's still there, is the economy, gas prices, housing, and things like that. And I'm so over of hearing that it's about Obama. They're voting against. I didn't vote against Obama. I voted for Hillary. I'm tired.
No, I hear you. You know, and by the way, that's an extremely important distinction. And thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. And she called 303-713-7600. On the line with us right now is Chris Gunn. Chris Gunn is with the Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Thanks for having me on, Mara.
Good, good. Welcome to the program. You are with the small business community, and it's called the American Small Business League, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so there is a bill that is going through the Senate right now that is extremely important. Could you tell us about it?
Yeah, it's H.R. 5819. It's the SBIR-STTR Reauthorization Act. For those of you out there, it's the Small Business Innovation Research Reauthorization. It's a very important bill, but this bill has been kind of jam-packed with anti-small business provisions, mainly that they're going to allow venture capital firms to participate in federal small business programs in a very significant way, and that they're going to allow them to dominate this program that's designed for small businesses.
And so, and we had actually talked about this topic, I think, just last week, basically to let people know these are small businesses that get hidden, right? Under corporations basically, you know, hide behind, I should say, these small businesses in order to get government contracts.
Well, in this case, what they're going to do is they're going to change the definition of a small business as independently owned and operated. And that's really the cornerstone of the definition of a small business. They're going to change that to include firms that are owned by venture capital firms.
Now, if I understand that you folks are opposed to that, right?
Yes, we are.
Now, but that being said, what if a small business, and I know it's somewhat rare, right? Mm-hmm. But what if a small business is lucky enough to get capital, investors to come in? I mean, if this law isn't changed, they would be excluded.
Well, and the thing that they'd be excluded from at this point is the SBIR program. But I don't think that that's necessarily what we're focusing on. Our main focus is on, sometimes firms need venture capital investment. But the way that this bill is designed, it's actually catering to firms that already have substantial venture capital investment. So I guess what we're trying to say is that, yeah, sure, sometimes small firms need venture capital investment, but they also need SBIR money. And if venture capital firms are dominating the SBIR program and they're unable to get that SBIR money, we're going to see a very high percentage of those firms that formerly would have gotten SBIR money to fund their research and development efforts not able to do that and possibly lose their businesses.
Wow, that is really, really incredible. So is this in the House or in the Senate, this bill?
Well, what we've seen is it's actually passed through the House of Representatives. Passed through the House of Representatives last week, but it has been referred to the Senate Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship.
Okay, and offhand, who are those? I will post it, but are there key senators on there that you are targeting?
Yeah, absolutely. At this point, the most important person in terms of looking at this issue, the most important people in terms of looking at this issue are Senator John Kerry and Senator Olympia Snow, mainly because he's the chair and she is the majority leader in terms of the House or the Senate Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship. And they're really going to be the decision makers when it comes to determining what kind of legislation they put out of their committee. And what they're going to do, and it's my understanding, is they're actually going to rewrite this legislation, hopefully, and come up with something that's maybe a little more conducive to small business participation in the SBIR program.
And do you think that do you feel confident that they understand what your message is here?
I sincerely hope so. I know that Senator Kerry is a really strong proponent of small business, and he's always supported small business. And SBIR is something that's very important for him. Massachusetts is a state that has a lot of small tech companies that are involved in the SBIR program. And so I think they're really going to take a deliberate look at this legislation and hopefully come forward with something that is a little more, a little better for small businesses. The bill that has been passed through the House is, a byproduct anti-small business sentiment, almost. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and let me ask you a question about that, because I really agree with you on I really agree that this bill needs to be modified. So I don't know if you've had a chance to stream the show much, because I know you're not in town here, but I'm a really strong proponent of small businesses. I understand how critical they are to the country and to our the middle class. But the fact of the matter is that do you think that it is do you think it is anti small business sentiment, or do you think it's just ignorance, on the part of legislatures on what it really takes to build and maintain a business and what their role could be as far as like making sure that small businesses get these very, sometimes lucrative but always sustaining contracts?
That's a very interesting question, and I think an interesting perspective. But I don't think it's one of those things where these legislators aren't aware of the implications of the legislation that they're presenting. Just last week, we saw a story come out of AllBusiness.com from a gentleman named Keith Girard, and the title of this story is "Velasquez Champions VC Firms at Small Business Expense." And it details, and your listeners can go ahead and look up a lot of this information themselves by visiting opensecrets.org. But, essentially it details participation by the National Venture Capital Association and the Biotechnology Industry Organization, mm-hmm. As well as several other large pharmaceutical companies, in terms of actually providing capital or campaign contributions to Representative Velasquez and actually 12 other members of the Small Business Committee. And our concern is that this legislation is a byproduct of those contributions.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, you know what we're going to do? And I'm really glad that you brought this to our attention. We will actually call. Now, just to let people know, Nidia Velasquez is the chair of the Small Business Committee in Congress. And we'll go ahead and we'll give her office a call and see if she'll come on tomorrow or if somebody you know, from her staff will come on tomorrow to try to explain, you know, why this bill ended up this way. But in the meantime, please keep us informed on how we could, you know, continue to, you know, to support modifications in this bill.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And, you know, for the listeners out there, the best way to really take a look at this legislation is to maybe visit www.asbl.com. We have this story from Keith Gerard on there. We also have links to the full text of the bill and some other things that you can do in terms of actually responding to the bill and trying to raise awareness about, you know, exactly what small businesses need.
Okay, thank you, Chris. I really, really appreciate it. Give us the website one more time.
It's www.asbl.com.
Okay, great. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Mario.
We'll talk to you soon. And once again, that's Chris Gunn from the American Small Business League, the American Small Business League, right here on the one and only Mario Solis Marit Show. 303-713-7600. 303-713-7600 is the number. We'll go ahead and continue to take your calls when we get back. In a second, though, we are going to have yet another live update from CBS News. The polls closed in West Virginia just about an hour ago, almost exactly an hour ago. And CBS News called the race for Hillary Clinton within, like, you know, within what, 30 seconds or something. Within a minute, literally within a minute. But well, let me put it this way. They came on at 5:31 and they had the news in hand. So they must have called it in real time as soon as the second the polls closed. This is, I think, due to large margin. I don't think we've seen any other networks call it, but we'll continue to keep an eye open. We'll give you some more exit poll numbers, all of that y mucho más. But right now, let's go ahead and get an update live from CBS News.
West Virginia primary. Hillary Clinton, by CBS News estimates, has won today's contest and won big with support from every major demographic group.
I'm Dan Revive. Exit poll results from West Virginia suggest in that state, Democrats find Clinton more honest and capable of being commander-in-chief. And one-third of Clinton voters say in November, if Obama's the Democrat, they'll vote for Republican John McCain. Among today's Democratic voters, only 5% are African-American.
70% of Clinton voters in West Virginia say she should stay in the race, but even with her showing today, CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod says the senator faces an uphill fight.
With her campaign more than $20 million in debt, Clinton desperately needs to raise money off a win here. Tomorrow, she's calling her top fundraisers to her Washington home to see if there's a way out of her campaign's dire financial shape.
Clinton also plans meetings tomorrow with both committed and uncommitted superdelegates. She's expected to speak to campaign workers in Charleston shortly. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
God, Bush said today that he gave up golf for the war. Did you see that, Rick? Did you see that, Mondo? Oscar? I know my Oscar saw it. He sent it to me. Yeah. Rick. Bush says he gave up. Sorry,
hey,
Rick.
Hey,
sorry,
come on.
Sorry. He says he gave up golf. Right after the August 2003 bombing of the United Nations headquarters in Baghdad, I quote, "I feel I owe it to the families to be in solidarity as best I can with them. And I think playing golf during a war just sends the wrong message."
That's big of him right there.
Isn't that something?
That's a major, major sacrifice. Well, I don't know if I could do that. I don't even know if I personally could do that.
Well, look at it this way. A lot of people gave up Republicanism because of the war, too. So major,
that's easy, though.
Major sacrifices going on all over the country. 303-713-7600 is the number. Hold on here. Let's go to line two. Is it Guillermo from Lakewood?
Hey, Mario, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, how are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, I wanted to ask you a question about the stimulus payments.
Yeah.
I think when you said that the foreign-born can't collect, I think you mean people with ITIN numbers, not Social Security numbers.
That is true.
Okay. Yeah, because you could be foreign-born, have a Social Security, and how would they know?
You could be foreign born. That's true, too. Yeah, that's a very good correction. These are and the TIN numbers are the tax identification numbers.
Right.
Right. So you could be here. If you don't have a Social Security number, then
you still have to pay tax. You're still going to have tax withheld.
That's true. You have to. Now, but check this out. If you're married to somebody who doesn't have a Social Security number, but has a TIN number, and they could be here. Once again, they could be here legally, et cetera. They just haven't, you know, finished the process to have, you know, a Social Security number. Then nobody gets the check.
Yeah, that impacts it. I don't know. I think that if they file jointly, it affects it, but they could still file separately and married. I don't know. It's kind of confusing.
They could file separately. Right. If they do so. But for many couples, the filing separately, would cost them as much as, you know, as the stimulus package would.
Yeah, probably.
If not more, because number one, they'd have to pay to get the extra return done. And number two, you know, they fall into other, you know, there's other tax ramifications.
Right. Yeah. So I think it affects the ones with the ITIN. And speaking of George Bush, he gave up golf. For the Gulf War, right?
Right. Thank you, Guillermo.
Okay, Mario, keep going.
All right, talk to you soon. Yeah. And he called 303-713-7600. Yeah, well, while people are going through the legalization process, they'll wait to get their Social Security number. They'll have something called a tax identification number, a TIN, so that they could be paying taxes and be playing by the rules. Many people who are undocumented have TIN numbers. What I think is interesting about this exclusion is that people said, look it, we don't want any undocumented getting these stimulus checks. So nobody with a TIN number could get a stimulus check. So what does that do? Well, number one, it acknowledges something that people don't want to acknowledge. It acknowledges something that Lou Dobbs says doesn't exist. It acknowledges something that Rush Limbaugh says doesn't exist. It acknowledges something that Tom Tancredo says doesn't exist. It acknowledges the existence of undocumented workers in this country that pay taxes. Do you follow me here? For me to say I don't want to give a tax rebate to anybody that has a TIN number because I know that some of those people are undocumented says that I know and understand that there are undocumented workers in this country that are paying taxes. That's what it says. So after all the denial from Tom Tancredo, after all of the denial from Lou Dobbs, after all of the denial of the right-wingers in Congress and in Senate, there is a full-scale acknowledgement that many undocumented workers not only pay the sales tax that everybody else pays and the property tax and all of that, but that they are actually paying income tax. Think about that. So anytime anybody argues that point with me, I'm gonna find Oscar. I know it'll take a day or two, but I want you to find out who put that provision in there and who voted for that provision. Because those people are on the record acknowledging something that academics have said for a long time, that Pew Research has said for a long time, and that I've said for a long time, is that you have undocumented workers in this country who are paying income taxes. 303-713-7600. 303-713-7600 is the number. Let me take a quick break. 644 right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. Let's go back to the phones. Line 3. Michael, you're on AM 760.
Hi, Mario. This is Michael again. I talked to you yesterday. My family was the big Latino family
right here
in Denver. I just found it interesting today listening to CNN a little while ago. They were doing a lot of exit polls in West Virginia, and it was They were surprised at the number of people who said they would vote for McCain if Hillary wasn't the nominee, and that went to what I was speaking yesterday.
Right.
And then secondly, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I kind of resented the implication of the caller shortly after me and you and the conversation that maybe my family wasn't that educated and
no,
didn't
I did,
look
I did.
Online.
I didn't say that. I didn't
well,
say that.
That's the way it sounded.
Right. Well, let me be clear, Michael. If I certainly don't believe that, or that is not my assumption. So if it sounded that way, I do apologize. I did not mean that. Now I do. Now this goes back to another issue we were talking about earlier, where there's this kind of this thing that's going on within the Democratic Party right now, where some people are saying, well, those people are less educated, you know, than those people, et cetera. But I do recognize that as a problem.
Okay. And I just wanted to make sure that you knew that that is not the case. My grandmother may not have went to college, but she and my grandfather worked very hard to send five kids to college. One of them was a Harvard graduate, and they did very, very well for their children. They do know how to use the Internet. They're not stupid. They've been campaigning. My grandma's been campaigning for years for the Democrats. This isn't just, you know, some uneducated guess that
well, see, I think you might be confusing something I said, though. First of all, when I was talking about that, I was talking about Latinos on the whole, and that was a little later on in the program. And a gentleman called and tried to make this distinction between younger and older, like younger, you know, this other myth that's been created that younger Latinos, you know, are voting for Obama, but older people aren't.
Right. I remember that part.
But my point there was not necessarily, and I did not, because I would not do this, correlate education with Internet use. But younger people are more prone to use, and this is just statistically, are more prone to use the Internet their main source of news and information. Whereas older Americans overall do not. Even if they use the Internet, it has less of an impact. It's not like they're not on the blogs all day. They're not on the, you know, they don't go to the blogs 5 days a week, you know, to get their news. They use it for other purposes.
Right.
Right. But go ahead. You had a whole other point to make from what I understand.
No, that was it.
Okay.
I just found it real surprising today that it was stating on the news on CNN exactly what I was stating, that there are a lot of people, not just Latinos. I don't know how many Latinos are in West Virginia, but a lot of the same people there were saying they would not vote for McCain.
Right.
They would vote for, they would not vote for Obama. They would vote for McCain if Hillary is not the nominee.
Well, see, this has been a problem with the way this issue, and quite frankly, I think it's a problem because it's inaccurate. And when you have when you diagnose a problem inaccurately, you can't solve the problem. And lately it's been framed, and by the way, I think to a certain extent the Hillary people have had, you know, have made this worse, but it's been framed that these people aren't, you know, that these quote unquote white people aren't voting for him, you know, and I think we had a caller earlier that made it clear that when she voted for Hillary, it wasn't that she was not voting for Obama, just that she was voting for Hillary. Right. But I mean, these people right now, because of the way this has been framed, also forget about Latinos who voted for Hillary in large numbers. And my experience of those folks was that they were not voting against Obama. They were voting, you know, they were voting for Hillary.
Right.
Right.
Well, I just think, you know, and earlier you had a caller on, and I think what he said was brilliant when he named 10 states. I think Idaho, yeah. Wyoming. I thought that was brilliant, and I think people are missing that point.
Well,
as though Barack has this huge momentum, but when you really break down the states that the Democrats are going to need, and I didn't make myself clear yesterday, I too am a Hillary supporter, very much so.
Okay,
because
I thought you were an Obama supporter, but go ahead.
No, I'm very much so a Hillary supporter, and I myself, I can't see myself voting for McCain, but I don't know if I'm even going to vote myself. If Hillary doesn't win the election, I mean the primary, we'll just have to see. I'm really seeing my point of all my aunts and uncles and my grandmother when they talk about that. They're extremely passionate about it, and it makes sense to me. What I get mad at is the way that they're discounting those of us who have voted for Hillary and discounting people who haven't voted in the primaries yet. I mean, Bill Clinton didn't even get the nomination until June, right, when he ran.
Right.
I don't remember the exact time frame, but...
It was different than this, though. I mean, because we didn't have this many races happen by then. But I do understand what you're saying. You know, I really do understand that this thing is not, you know, technically over, and that it can't be over until it's over. And I don't know how long you've been listening to this program, Michael, but I've been very adamant for a couple of months, and this is not the first radio experience I've had. I've been adamant for over a year now that the divisive rhetoric, potentially was going to have a long-term impact on this race. And unfortunately, I think my prediction is coming true.
Right. I think the pundits and some of you are the only show I listen to. I used to listen to this station all day. I used to listen to it at work. I can hardly stand to listen to Randy Rhodes. She is so, I don't even know how to explain it.
It's
hard to listen to what she says.
Well,
it's as though Hillary doesn't exist. And today she was, I listened to her for 2 minutes when I was in the car, and I had to literally turn it off.
All right, Michael, thank you for your call. I appreciate you listening to this show. All right.
And
we'll talk to you soon. Yeah. I don't want to get into, because obviously there's people who adamantly agree with her, and they definitely, they have a right to have their, you know, their voice portrayed as well. 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600 at 652, right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Let me take a quick break, and you could get the final traffic update from Scott Boylan.